Book of Proverbs tonight, Proverbs chapter 6, Proverbs chapter 6. Everything you could ever want in life can be found in Proverbs chapter 3. That's another night, another message. Everything you could ever want in life is found in Proverbs 3, and it's a great study. In Proverbs chapter number 6, we're going to look at things that God hates tonight. We're also going to look at some things God loves. Now, in Proverbs chapter 6, just to set the context, if you'll look at verse number 16 with me, it says, "These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him, a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren." Now, we'll get into the message in a second, but I want to talk to you a minute about the word hate. A lot of times we use that word rather flippantly and say, well, I hate this or I hate that. And I think we're talking about a pet peeve, something that bothers us or we dislike. We were talking about mothers today. How many of you can remember something that was just a pet peeve with your mom? Anybody want to share? Anybody want to share that you just didn't do? You just didn't do. You ain't got time. Okay, now seriously, anybody? I mean, what did mom hate, Jenny? Mom didn't like it when you shook your leg and shook the whole pew at church. Miss Angie? Slamming the screen door. That was my mother's at the back. How about you, Brother Ryan?
Put my hand in the cookie dough.
Oh, putting your hand in the cookie dough when she was getting it ready. Anybody else? My mom had a pet peeve. These are things mom hated. It'd make mom angry. We know what those things are, though, right? We remember. Now that you're married, does your spouse have a pet peeve? Anybody bold enough or got the guts to share it? Anybody at all? Come on now, Miss Suglio.
Tardiness.
That's one of mine too. That's tardiness. Amen. Anybody else? Anybody else got a pet? Their spouse has a pet peeve. Your wife hates chewing gum. My wife hates my chewing gum, too. I drive her crazy because I talk like I'm back in Chicago when I have it in my mouth. Amen. It just takes us all the way back to when we first met, and it's not a good memory. All right. Anybody else? I mean, seriously, we all know what those are, right? They're pet peeves. Does your boss have a pet peeve? He's not, or she's not watching right now. What's their pet peeve? What's the boss's pet peeve? What's the boss hate?
My boss is watching.
Yeah, your boss is watching. That's right. Seriously, anybody? Come on, you know what they are. If you've been at that office any length of time, you know what to do or what not to. Brother Carl.
Not getting to the point.
Not getting to the point succinctly or quickly irritates him. Okay, anybody else?
Leaving early.
He hates people leaving early. Amen. All right, everybody's starting to want to go home now. No, seriously. But, go. What's your pet peeve, Ms. Mix?
We're all listening.
Eating food and not sitting at the table.
Eating food all over. Yeah, they walk around with it. Now you've got a puppy that does the same thing. She picks up a hand. She wants to be with us all the time, so she'll pick up a mouthful of food, come out of the laundry room, and drop it on the carpet and pay attention. We know what the word hate means in the fact that it gets used in a rather light fashion to mean a pet peeve. But in this context, it is used in a strong way. It says, "These six things does the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him." The word abomination means anger, yes, but so angry it's mingled with disgust. Now, the best way I could kind of bring this up, and please, no one loses their salvation once you have it, okay? So let's just put that ground rule down right now. Everybody understands that. But your spouse has a deal breaker. Okay, now I got quiet. There's things that irritate them, but there's things that could happen, and they're done. Your boss, let's make it easy. Your boss has a deal breaker. Something that if you do, you cannot come back from. Whether you, like you folks in the military, you treat, well, as long as you're not a senator from New York, you're not allowed to deal with classified material in an unsafe way. Right? Yeah, I said it out loud. But y'all would have been in Leavenworth if you'd have done what she did. Be writing me letters each month going, what's new? Those are deal breakers. Your boss has a deal breaker. When I worked at Advanced Tissue, Mr. Lamb was a great boss, a very great visionary. But I watched the top salesman in our group walk in and pound on his desk in a fit of anger, and he was fired on the spot. That's a deal breaker. You don't do that. You just don't do that. Is there deal breakers at your work, Miss Angie? There's not a list.
It's subtle,
but there's things that she cuts pretty close to the skin that. Yes, if you were vocal, if you were vocal.
I wouldn't be out, but I would be reprimanded.
Yep. There are deal breakers. Now, Brother David.
When I was an owner,
yep.
Theft,
when you owned the company, theft was a deal breaker for you. When I was first 16 years old, I went to work at a commercial greenhouse. Had 14 acres under plastic and glass. And the boss, the owner, his name was Nick. Nick. The first name was Nick. Yeah, then we're getting in. He had profanity. No joke. There was a sign over the door that said profanity prohibited. Of course, that's where I learned to cuss. But if he caught you, you were fired. I mean, that I don't care who you were. He walked you out. And there are deal breakers in this life. There are deal breakers. And as you read the Bible, there are things that you don't lose your salvation, but you can forget the blessings. You can forget God wanting to bless you. It'll take a long time before God comes back and goes, okay, I can bless you. And it takes a lot of humility and things. I don't know how else to explain it. Now, maybe I'm explaining it wrong. But the word abomination, there is no synonym in the English language. Okay, there is no other name, single word you can put in place of it, and it mean the same thing. That's why we take issue with the newer versions of the Bible, is because you don't have they're damnation. You know what damnation means? That means to go to hell and not wait in line. Okay, I mean it's damnable. Okay, there's not another word in the English language for that. So when you look at this word. When God says these six things that the Lord hate, he doesn't mean this is my pet peeve and I'm going to get irritated, or this is my pet peeve and I'm going to stop blessing. No, this makes him angry. Angry to the point of disgust. Now, in verse 12 through 15, he condemns the strife that a fool creates in relationships, okay? Look at verse 12 real quick here. A naughty person, a wicked man, walketh with a froward mouth. That means perverse. He winketh with his eyes. Now, when I mean perverse, I'm talking about loud, outspoken, perverse. Okay? He winketh with his eyes. That talks about deception. He speaketh with his feet in his actions. He teacheth with his fingers. Frowardness, perverseness, loud perverseness is in his heart. That's why it comes out of his mouth. He deviseth mischief. He's constantly thinking about ways to do mischief continually. He soweth discord. Therefore shall his calamity come suddenly. Suddenly shall he be broken without remedy. So God condemns the strife that a fool creates, a proud fool. But in verses 16 through 19, he said, here are the sins that this proud fool does. And I hate them. They make me angry. And they make me so angry, I'm at the point of disgust. This is more than a pet peeve. It is a deal breaker. It is a deal breaker. All right? Now, look at verse number 16. These things does the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look. We're talking about a haughty bearing. A proud look. Now remember, pride is the principal root of all sin. Do you remember Proverbs 13:10? The Bible says, only by pride cometh contention. And trust me, if there's a contention between you and God, I can tell you which side of the equation it's on. It's our side. And in James chapter 4, if you're following along, James chapter 4, if you've got tabs on the side of your Bible, you're cheating. And James 4 and verse number 6, but he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud. He stands up to, he pushes back on the proud. So a proud look. Now, Peter, while you're back there in James, it's just after James you find Peter. Peter speaks about the blessings of humility. Look at 1 Peter 3 and verse 4. But let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even an ornament of a meek and quiet spirit. Now, the word meek does not mean weak. Meek means you have your emotions and your anger under control. You don't have to go off and spout foolishly like a froward person. Even an ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which in the sight of God is of great price. Look at 1 Peter 5 and verse number 5. 1 Peter 5 and verse 5. Likewise, you younger, submit yourselves to the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. That's an interesting way to think about it. The fact that, well, what did they wear today? Well, they had on a suit, they had on a tie. To be clothed, to be that which people see and perceive, and it becomes part of who you are. It's that humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. So God says one of the things that's more than a pet peeve, one of the things that he is going to directly resist in his children and in people everywhere is pride. Listen to what Jesus said in Matthew 11. Look what it says in Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. I hear the voice of Miss Sherry in my head, Miss Mix. She'd always say, now, preacher, slow down. Slow down. I'm always flipping pages. Matthew 11 and verse 29. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. You know, that takes time. That learn of me. It talks about working with somebody and learning their routines. Today, Ms. Mix and I got home from eating out, and we remembered she was going to make brownies for tonight. Ms. Mix's gluten-free brownies are out there, y'all, okay? So I'm not going to be long. But I knew what she needed the minute she said. So we got out there, and while I'm grabbing this and this, she's grabbing this and that, and boom, she's mixing that thing up, and boom. And I had the whole thing cleaned up and everything put away by the time she slipped that bad boy in the oven. Isn't that right, baby? Because I know how she wants it. I knows what she likes. I know where to find it. But that took time. It wasn't that way when we were first married, was it? I still can't boil water, but I can go fetch things. And I can put things away. Amen. She's got me trained. I'm a domesticated animal. Look at this. Learn me. Learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart. And ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy, my burden's light. God resists, actively opposes pride. Back in Proverbs chapter 6, we also see verbal falsehood here in verse number 17. A proud look, a lying tongue. And you think to yourself, surely Christians don't lie. Do they? Huh. Have you ever heard? Oh, that's an adorable baby. Yeah, we share. Yeah. God hates lying. What? Bless their heart. Because when you say bless your heart, you can go dot, 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 dot. And everybody in the room who's not from the north understands what that means. God hates lying. God hates it. But it's so easy. Because we don't like confrontation. We don't like things to get uncomfortable. We don't like the transparency that comes with honesty. Now, you can be honest without being hateful, and you can be honest without being mean-spirited, and you can rejoice with other people, but the truth is, it's the transparency sometimes, because we don't want to change what's inside. Isn't it great that our clothes and our skin is not transparent? Huh? Because what if you could look down into somebody's heart and see what was going on? I'm so glad you can't read minds. I'm so glad I can't read minds. I mean, it's just... But the truth is, why do we? Well, because sometimes we just don't want to, we don't want to confront it. We don't want to have to change our attitude or our thoughts or our heart about things. Listen to what David wrote in Psalm 120 and verse 2. Psalm 120 and verse 2. I learned a long time ago, it's just better to be honest when you make a mistake. It is just better to be honest. Psalm 120 and verse 2. Deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips and from a deceitful tongue. This is a prayer of David. This is David asking God for help with his own problem, not the people around him. I have found, much to my chagrin, that when I mess up and I immediately go to that person and apologize, they're shocked because that doesn't happen much out yonder in the workforce anymore. You have to be found out, and then they have to spin it, and then sometimes it's easier to just admit it, and a lot of times they don't know what to do about it. Just go, oh, okay, don't do it again. They don't know what to do because people are not honest. Back in Proverbs 6, it says, hands that shed innocent blood. This is heartless cruelty. We saw that in Genesis 4, where Abel didn't have anything to do with Cain's sin. And why did kill Abel? How did that fix Cain's problem? It didn't. It was just heartless cruelty as a person throws a fit. Have you ever seen an adult throw a fit? Huh? That's anger. Anger is not an adult behavior. It is a childish behavior. And this, he hates it. This, remember, we're talking about things God, this isn't a pet peeve. These are things that God will actively resist because he hates them. They're deal breakers. You lose your blessing. Hands that shed innocent blood. Do you ever hate somebody? God says in his sight, you're now a murderer. Look, listen to what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5 on the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter number 5 and verse number 21. Matthew 5:21 says, ye have heard that it is said of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say, I'm going to raise the standard, Jesus says, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. Now remember what I said early on about the proud look? Only by pride cometh contention. So if there's a contentious problem here, if there's contention, there's pride out of control. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. Therefore, because I feel this way, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, you come to church to worship, and there rememberest that your brother have aught against thee. You didn't make it right with your spouse, which, by the way, is your closest neighbor. Leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. You're not right with God until you're right with them, and or at least as right as you can get. Because I've apologized to people from time to time, and only to have them still angry and not be, I'm not ready to forgive you. Oh, okay, I love you. I'm sorry. I'll see you at church maybe. I mean it. You get as right as you can, and you mean it. And then you say, well, my heart's not right. Well, then get it right. Because God actively resists us. And that's not a thought we use in our daily life. I've talked to you about hope. Hope is the belief and the assurity that I'm going to receive good from God and not evil. That is what hope is. And my hope in this life, I don't just have hope in the coming of Christ. I have hope in this life that today I'm going to receive good from God, not just evil, or not evil, excuse me. I'm going to receive good from God tomorrow. Now, I don't know what's going to be around tomorrow, but I know. Boil it down, it's going to be good, and it's going to be for my good and not evil. But the opposite of that is God actively resisting me. And that's not a thought we always put into mind. Look at that next one back in Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 18. A heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. Now remember, I've taught you in Proverbs 4:23 that all sin begins in the heart. It don't begin out here in the hands and the feet. Jesus said whatever's in the heart, that's what the mouth speaketh. For out of the heart the mouth speaketh. So it's in there first. We sin first in our heart long before it ever comes out our hands and our feet and our mouth. That's why you got to guard what goes in your eyes and ears, because it sinks down into your heart and it comes out your hands, your feet, and your your mouth. So he says, a heart that deviseth, hadn't done it yet. It's just thinking about it. Deviseth. It's scheming in their heart. That vicious scheming. And a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. Listen to what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15 and verse 18. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they, the things that came out of your mouth, defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts. Out of the heart proceed murders. Out of the heart proceed adulteries. Out of the heart proceeds fornications, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. God actively resists us. Why? Because to him, they make him angry to the point where he's disgusted. He's definitely not going to bless that. Number five, back in Proverbs 6 in verse 18, it says, feet that be swift in running to mischief. Not just to do mischief, but to run to it, to desire it, to run after mischief. That's the devil's work. God sees, now he actively is, you want to go do that, and you're running to do it. That means without restraint, without thought of consequences, without thought of the future things, and God actively resists. Now, God says your feet can be beautiful. Do you remember those verses? What are those verses? Which verse comes to mind when your feet are actually pretty? I don't know. Do you find feet pretty? I don't know. I went and got a pedicure with Ms. Mix one time, and I fell asleep in the chair, right? And then a lady was working on my feet, and she had fingers about that long, and she got those big. I mean, she looked, it's a little bitty little girl, and she got these big old pliers out and was clipping off my toenails. And I'm sitting here sorry and embarrassed, going, man, my feet are ugly, and I'm sorry. And she's just going at it. She had to get the Dremel tool out. Man, you know you got bad toes when they got to get the Dremel tool out to actually fix it up, all right? What? It happened. I was shocked. I didn't think about it. I thought she was going to get the sander and the orbital out and start going at it. Feet are just not pretty, okay? At least not to me. But God says they're beautiful if they're carrying the gospel. Romans 10, 15. How beautiful are the feet of them that bring glad tidings to the... that is Isaiah 52, 7 also. The next one, Proverbs chapter 6. It says, a false witness, verse 19... that speaketh lies. He said this is an accursed thing. It often works in the dark under the mask of truthfulness. The worst ones are the ones that where they're actively trying to deceive. God hates slander. He commands against it. Look at Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4 and verse number 29. Ephesians 4 and verse number 29. The Bible reads, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but in contrast, that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. What was it Solomon said? A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pitchers of silver. Isn't that what he said? Look at verse 32. And be ye kind one to another. Man, nobody's kind anymore with their words. Tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. God actively resists this in us. Look at that back in Proverbs chapter 6 and verse number 19. Device strife. He that soweth discord among brethren. And that's typically done because we want them to be our friends, to like us more than they like other people. And we want them to think we're smart, not somebody else. We want them to think we're special, not someone else. And we actively will end our sentences with questions rather than statements, or we'll go, but, or we'll lead others to believe something that's false. And we sow discord. God hates it. God will actively resist us. I mean, these are good things to know, right? I mean, when I got married, I didn't know what my wife's pet peeves were. I didn't know what would make her angry. I didn't know what would irritate her. And I didn't know these things. And now they're just a list of options for fun, but to have fun with. But there are deal breakers out there. You know? I mean, it's funny. You guys have young kids. You know what I'm talking about. But when your kids start to get teenagers, you'll be like, and they'll say it anyway, because you tried. You're like, no, stop. I was so cool. I saw all these little boys were up here just standing perfectly still, and it reminded me of the days when my kids understand hand signals. Do you use hand signals with your kids? I use hand signals with mine. This means what? Be quiet. This means be quiet and leave the room. This means come stand by me. This means come go. Better go find a place to sit down. This means go to the truck. This means not this. It's like... I got that off Predator. Arnold Schwarzenegger goes like this. Everybody stop. This means stop whatever you're doing and stand still. That's what that means. So if I go like this, what does that mean? Be quiet, stand still. Amen. Oh, go to first base. Yeah. No, but it did. It's so wonderfully, you know. And the truth is I try to do that. I try to do that because there are certain things that irritate Miss Mix, and they haven't learned her yet. They've not carried her yoke because her yoke is easy and light. And learn of me. Oh, my soul. They're just 12, you know, he's only 16 years old, and he's the last one at the home house. And I'm like, if you know that God actively resists these things, they ought to be something we don't forget. They ought to be something that we keep in mind. And find ourselves putting our hand over our mouth and going, no, I'm not. Mm-mm. No, I'm not going to go. That's one step too far. No, I'm not going to think on that. Now, there are things God loves because our God is a God of emotions. God is a God of emotions. That's why we have emotions. If there are things that we hate and we love, God is the same way. There are things God loves. I mean, God loves Israel. We know that from Jeremiah 31. And verse 3, Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 3. I'll find it here. Here we go. Jeremiah 31 and verse number 3. Listen. Yeah, verse 3. The Lord hath appeared of old, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. God loves Israel. Deuteronomy 7 and verse 7 and 8, the Bible says, God did not place his love upon you because you were greater than other people, but yet you were the smallest of all people, but because God chose, you know, God, Bible love is choice, and God loves Israel. God loves human beings. God loves all people. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Romans 5:8, but God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 4 and 5 tells us that God loves people, all people, and that Jesus Christ is that expressed image of God's love. Listen to what it says in Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy because his great love. You know, I'm not correcting the King James. That's what the word for means. But sometimes we forget why that three-letter word is there. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins. He loved us when I didn't even know him and I was his enemy, hath quickened us together with God, with Christ. Now, as I said, look at Titus chapter 3, then verse 4, that Christ is the expressed image, the love of God expressed visually. Look at Titus 3 and verse 4. But after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior, but after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared. Who appeared? Christ appeared. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. By the washing and regeneration and the renewing of Holy Ghost. Christ is the actual expression of God's love. God not only loves humanity, he loves Israel, he loves Christians. Look at 1 John chapter 3. It's all the way in the back of the book, just before you get to the book of the Revelation. Find 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. There's a young man who comes to church here regularly that comes from the former religion of Islam. And one of the things that jumped out at him when looking at Christianity and the claims of Christianity was the fact that you're not a servant or a slave. That's what Islam teaches. You're the slave of Allah. Christianity teaches you're a son. You've been adopted into the family. There's a seat at God's table. You're wearing the ring and the robe and the sandals, just like the prodigal son got when he came back. And you are now called by his name. You are not a servant. You're above a servant. You are a son. Look at chapter 4 of this same book, 1 John chapter 4 and verse 8. The Bible says, He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sins. He loves Christians. He loves the fact that you're born again. Look at verse 12. He evidenced his love. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us his Spirit. He loves Christians. He also loves followers of righteousness. Back in Proverbs chapter 15, he loves it when you and I choose righteousness. Proverbs 15 and verse 9. He loves us. He loves the fact that when we choose righteousness over sin. Look at Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 9. The way of the wicked is an abomination. It makes God angry to the point of disgust, an abomination unto the Lord. But he loveth him that followeth after righteousness. One of the beautiful things when Peter, Second Peter, where Peter says, add to your faith virtue and then knowledge. He loves the fact that when you figure out what right is and you're willing to do right, it's because your heart's right. He also loves not only followers of righteousness, he likes people who keep his commandments. Listen to what it says in John chapter 14. John chapter 14 and verse 21. John 14 and verse number 21. Look what the Bible reads in John 14, 21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Look at verse 23. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him. And we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He loves Christians. He loves Israel. He loves human beings. He loves those who choose righteousness over sin. He loves those that keep his commandments. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 7, 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 7, he loves a cheerful giver. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity. Now look at that. For God loveth a cheerful giver. Today I was having a conversation with a brother, and I was trying to explain to him what sacrifices were. And he's like, so you would bring the, he says, so preacher, you bring that goat or that sheep, and you kill it, and they sprinkle the blood, and then the priest gets to eat it. And I said, well, some of it. Well, what about the rest of it? They burn it on the altar. Wait. I bring you the best I have, and you cut its throat. I understand that. You sprinkle the blood. I get that. But then you just throw it up on the altar, and you burn it. You don't eat it. Like, no, you just burn it because you're giving it to God. So if I bring a $100 bill, and I give it to the Lord, and the Lord goes, thank you, and sets it on fire, I don't understand that. And I said, well, is it a gift? Is it really God's, or is it yours? Did you give it to God? And it's God to use as he sees fit. I remember the two guys who were arguing about tithing one time. And he says, well, I don't understand why you give it to the church. He goes, why don't we just throw it up in the air and whatever God wants, he can take. And whatever hits the ground, I'll just take, put back in my pocket. You know, God loves a cheerful giver because giving cheerfully means I know that it's for God's glory. Not for me. It's for God's glory. You know, just as we love and hate, God does too. And even though we find ourselves doing the opposite of what God, you know, wants or thinks, if you find yourself doing the things God hates, so if we kind of go back over them really quickly, please, it says in Proverbs chapter 6, these are the things that he hates, a proud look. When I think I'm better than other folks. A lying tongue. When we're not honest. Now, my mother said, if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all, and that's wise. That's not being, I don't think that's being dishonest. But lying for my own benefit, either to have an advantage or to save my pride or save my transparency, that's lying. Lying tongue. And hands that shed innocent blood. That means I've killed somebody so I could have their stuff. That's what that means. And heart that devises wicked imagination. Now that's where the battleground is for most Christians. It's in our mind. They that be swift in running to mischief. We like to do mischief when no one's looking. A false witness that speaketh lies. That means to get out of to get out of trouble or help somebody get out of trouble. And he that soweth discord among brethren. If you find yourself having done the things that the Lord hates, even just one of them, the same principle applies. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But you're supposed to forsake those things. When the Holy Spirit comes to mind and comes to your mind and he convicts you about one of these things, you're to confess it. You're to admit it. You're to say you're sorry. But you're also to remind yourself, when I'm put in this position next time, I'm not going to do that. Because what I just, you know, when I think of an abomination, I know as a Christian, I can't lose my salvation. I know that no matter how what goes on right now, I can't lose my salvation. I'm kept by the power of God. I can give you a bunch of verses on that. But the best I can picture in my mind is God actively resisting. Instead of just pulling back his hand to blessing, instead of just turning off the blessings, he's actively resisting me, pushing against me, stopping me to advance in all these different areas of my life. And the only answer to that is the confession and repentance and forsaking it. Are we doing things that God loves, though? You know, I from time to time I get to deal with folks that are God's chosen folks, the Israelis. They're not always pleasant, but they're still God's chosen. So I love them. Human beings, God loves humans. God loves people more than anything else. And sometimes humans grate on you. Sometimes being around certain specific human beings takes a little flesh off you, huh? Takes a little extra effort to be around. But you know, that's the reason Jesus came. What would that person be like if they got saved? Mrs. Mix and I have a videotape of our wedding reception, and it's not for public viewing. We don't recognize those people. Oh, it was us. It was us. But not anymore. Not anymore. And I think to myself, you know, am I may not be doing what God hates, but am I doing the things God loves? The things God wants me to do? See, the benefits of doing the things God loves is, the Bible says in 1 John 3:22, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. See, God wants to actively bless. If we obey, if we do the things that please God, he wants to actively bless. And whatsoever we ask, that's prayer, we receive of him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing to God, pleasing in his sight. So that means when I'm not doing those things, he is actively resisting. Sometimes I need a visual picture. Sometimes through my day, through my week, when I'm having to be, okay, you know, let's face it, get up the next morning and be a Christian, at work or in the public or out at the gas station. Sometimes I need that mental picture of, am I going to choose to do what God would bless and continue to bless and be happy with me? Or am I going to just fulfill my flesh and end up having God pushing against me? Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Yes, our God is a God of love, but he also hates certain things. Certain things make him not just angry, but angry to the point where it's a deal breaker on the blessing. To where it's not just I'll turn the blessings off, it's I'm going to resist you until you get this straight in your heart and in your mind. Our Father and our God, we love you. And Father, to our shame, we find ourselves from time to time doing the things on that list. And we ask your forgiveness of our sin. We love you. And we realize it was because you loved us first that you sent your Son. And in response to that, we love you back. And Father, from time to time, our flesh, we let our flesh win. We let our flesh be satisfied by the things we say or don't say, by the things we do or don't do. We ask your forgiveness for indulging our flesh. And tonight, Father, as we see the things you love, there's more than what I mentioned tonight, but Father, we help us to put this picture in our mind that when at the moment of choice we act with integrity, recognizing we want you behind us blessing instead of pushing in front of us or pushing against us. We ask tonight, God, that you would allow us the opportunity to be right with you, to get right with you if we're not, and Father, to walk in fellowship with you. And Father, whatever other need may be visible tonight in the hearts and minds of people, I ask, God, that you'd meet those needs and help us, guide us through your word, Holy Spirit, that we'll respond as you'd have us to. In Jesus' name, amen. As Mrs. Mix plays and sings, the altar is open. We're here to pray with you if you'd like someone to pray with you.
I see shattered, you see whole. I see broken, but you see beautiful. And you're helping me to believe you're restoring me piece by piece. There's nothing too dirty that you can't make worthy. You wash me in mercy.
Yes.
I am clean. There's nothing too dirty that you can't make worthy. You wash me in mercy. I am clean. What was dead now lives again. My heart's beating.
Will you ask the Holy Spirit? Is there anything between you and I that we need to deal with, Lord?
Oh,
we can be
I'm
clean
coming
tonight.
Alive with joy and
at one with our Savior.
Because you're restoring me piece by piece.
God isn't looking for perfection.
There's nothing too dirty. that you can't make worthy. You wash me in mercy. I am clean. There's nothing too dirty that you can't make worthy. You wash me in mercy. I am clean.
Our Father and our God, we love you. And God, I'm thankful that you don't leave us to wonder about what it is you like or don't like. And I'm thankful, Father, that we've not gone too far, that you cannot bring us back and make us clean. Thank you for the blessing of that song. Thank you, Father, for your word. And tonight we ask, God, that you would bless us as we fellowship in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. May the good way. Brother Frank has a couple quick announcements.